Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you again to the book of Job, chapter 23 and verse 3. The book of Job, chapter 23 and verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. The book of Job, chapter 23 and verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. We tried this morning to look a little at the desire that is set before us here, which was given by the Lord to dear Job, and secondly, who it was that he longed to find, none other than the dear Lord Jesus himself, because in him, the hymn writer said, a rich fullness dwells and is freely given. It's a wonderful thing when faith is given to believe and to view that blessed fullness that there is in the dear Lord Jesus. And I believe dear Job was favoured to view a little of that fullness. And this is why in all his trouble he was enabled to say, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that he might draw from that fullness that there was in the dear Lord Jesus. The hymn writer said, didn't he, a fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. So have we this desire. I'll press that point home with us each this afternoon. Oh, that I knew. It's personal, you see. Dear Job desired this personally. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And then in conclusion, we looked at a few of the places where we will find him. And you see, dear Job was to, just to recap on what we considered, dear Job was favoured to find the Lord in that great trial he was in. And oh, what you may be in that concerns you and exercises you this afternoon, oh, that you might find the Lord in it. And that will put everything right. It will make those things that seem to you so crooked to be made straight. It can disperse the clouds of darkness. It was to do this with dear Job. And oh, what difference as we look back today, we think of some of the trials and afflictions and troubles we've come through over the years and how the Lord so came to us in them. We found him there. And as our helper, our portion, our strength, our all. And oh, may it be so today. But then we notice how Job found him at the mercy seat, which I want to look at a little, this latter clause in a moment. How he found the Lord there as a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. And then too, to find him in the Word of God. You know, when we go to the Word of God in times of need and times of concern, and when we go daily to the Word of God, what a difference there is when we find the Lord there. Because, you know, if it's just print on the page, it will never do us good. But let us remember, all God's Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Lord reveals Himself in His Word, it makes it very sweet to the soul and very sweet to the taste. Oh, it does. Some of you can remember those occasions where you found the Lord there and speaking to you through His Word, applying the Word with power. And not only this, but there's food in the Word, you see. And if the Lord is there found in the Word, there will be food for your soul. Think of what Jeremiah said. I often quote it, but it's a beautiful word, really. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Could you say that this afternoon? And then, oh, to find the Lord in the ministry of His Word that we looked at this morning. Find Him there. That'll make the Word that is preached savour to the soul. Life and power. Christ in it, you say. Who is the one thing that is needful. He's the sum and substance of the Word. And oh, may we know more and more of it in and through the preaching of the Word. And then in conclusion, we looked at finding the Lord in His house. And this is what makes the house of God very precious to God's dear people. The Lord there. I may have told you before, but dear old Mr. Everett at Ponsard Road in London, he said to me on one occasion, he said, you know, I went to open the house of God. He said, and I was in such trouble of soul, and the adversary was attacking me. And he said, the journey to the chapel was difficult. He said, I felt the Lord had forsaken me forever. And he said, he went to the doors of the sanctuary, unlocked the doors. He said, I walked in, and he said, there was nobody there of persons of the earth. He said, but you know, as I opened the doors and walked in, he said, the Lord came. And he said, He so blessed me there. He said, I just fell before the Lord and praised Him. And you know, it's sweet when that is so, isn't it? The late Mrs. Chapman at Stockfold, she cleaned the chapel for many, many years. And she said to me once, she said, you know, I've had some sweet spots there. She said, I've known what it is to scrub the floors on my hands and knees, and the tears ran down my face, she said. The Lord was there. And she, you know, those times she never forgot. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him. And then the Lord is found in the hearts of His dear people. Oh, yes. And oh, that we might have Him in our hearts. Each of us personally, you think of the unknown days of the future. We know not what we may have to come into, but oh, to have the Lord within our hearts. That's everything, isn't it? Dear Job knew what it was, and especially when the Lord delivered him from all his trouble, of what it was to have the Lord within his heart. He was found there. And when you think back of some of the dear godly souls that used to be here, that are now in glory, you know, when you looked at some of them, you could see this. The Lord was within them. Oh, he was. And you see, if the Lord is in us, he'll humble us. And he'll make us tender. We have the mind and the spirit of Christ. What does the apostle say into the Corinthians? Except ye have the spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. You know, it's a searching word, and it's a very blessed word, really. Except ye have the spirit of Christ. You know, sadly, we don't always have it, do we? Our own spirit can soon rise. But oh, when we have the Spirit of Christ in us. You see, he's seen within his dear people. The world see him. I think of our dear old friend Mr. Brooks that we laid into Mother Earth a couple of years or so ago, you know, in the hospital. Even those in the ward said there's something different in that dear man, you know. And they spoke about it to the nurses, and the nurses said, you know, there's something so different in him than the rest. And even the world and the ungodly saw it. You see, the Lord was within him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And oh, to find him in, and I'll tell you what that'd do. And this is not premeditated or anything. You think of dear Ruth. That dear woman, she saw in Naomi the Lord was within her. And that's what drew Ruth to Naomi. In near Naomi, Christ was formed in them, the hope of glory. And you know, if Christ is formed in the hearts of his people, it'll be seen. Oh, it will. And those with faith and living grace in exercise within them, they will view it. Like it was seen in the disciples, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. He was within them. But we must go further. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. That I might come even to his seat. He wanted to come where the Lord was. Even to his seat. And why did he want to come even to the seat of where the Lord was? That he might tell him all his need. He goes further, doesn't he? He says, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. We think of, there's a few passages that are rested upon one's spirit, and we think of what was recorded in the previous chapter that we read together this afternoon, where Eliphaz said to Job, in all Job's trouble, is not God in the height of heaven? What a question. He reminds dear Job, and you know it's nice when there are those to remind us the Lord is still on the throne. You think of all the trial Job was in, and there was this dear man reminding him. He said, is not God in the height of heaven? viewing all what Job was in, viewing all the trial that he was passing through, you think of it in your heart and pathway today. What a mercy the Lord is in the height of heaven, seeing all that goes on. You see, when the Lord looks down, he sees everything that his dear children are in. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Our life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. Nothing escapes the eye of the Lord. And here Eliphaz says to Job, is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the heights of the stars, how high they are. You see how the Lord is above all things, and in all things, and under all things. But then he goes further. And thou sayest, how doth God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? The thick clouds are covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh on the circuit, in the circuit of heaven. Wonderful words, weren't they, that were spoken to dear Job. The comfort really there was in them, if only Job could view it. And think about what you may be in, even today. The Lord above all things, and viewing all that we sing, don't we? Our life's minutest circumstances subject to his eye. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. And then we read in Psalm 35, didn't we? The urgency and prayer of the dear psalmist, and how he spoke in the first verse. The same language. He says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. You know, the dear psalmist David here was so troubled by the enemies that were surrounding him, attacking him. And oh, how he begs of the Lord, plead my cause, O Lord. And you see, as our text says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. And he longed for the Lord to plead his cause for him. And fight against them that fight against me. And then in verse 23 he says, stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. You see, he begs of the Lord that the Lord would stir up and arise for his help, for his need, and appear for him. And we find too, if I remember rightly, in that fifth psalm, a very precious word too. And may the Holy Spirit bring it home to each of us. He says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. You think of those of you in need today, whether it's in your soul, in your circumstance, or whatever it may be, you're troubled by sin, troubled by enemies, troubled by affliction, troubled by distress of opposition from Satan. He says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. He was given that sweet faith, the dear psalmist David, to believe that God who was in heaven, whose seat was there, pleading on his behalf, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord." Oh, you think of it. "And then, in the morning, will I direct my prayer unto thee." Where are you directing your prayer, and where am I? You see, the many direct their prayers to idols, to false gods, or to men. But where are we directing our prayer? Is it to the God of heaven, he who holds all nature in his hand? The hymn writer said, "That gracious hand on which I live." "In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee." And then he speaks these few words, and I did just hint at them this morning in a different context in concerning the Lord Jesus speaking them. But here he says, "And will look up." You see, really, what was Job doing here? He says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." He was looking out of his own trouble, looking out of all the opposition from Satan, and he was looking to him that sat upon the throne. Where are we looking this afternoon? For us to look up, you know, we need the eye of faith. Oh, you think of what the dear psalmist said in Psalm 121. And that beautiful psalm, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." Well, who is it that needs to look up? You pause and consider that this afternoon. Is it not those that are looking down? Lift up thine eyes. And here he speaks it so beautifully in that fifth psalm, "I will look up." And oh, that we may be given that faith to venture on this afternoon, looking up, you see. If we look down, we're so often like Peter, aren't we? And we're sinking. And we look at the waves, we look at the sea, we look at the great depth there was there, the great deep, and we sink. And there may be those things why the Lord has directed me to it this afternoon that are making you sink. What does the hymn writer say? "Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind and strong. Pity, join with power." Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. And then in coming to his seat, how can you come? Just as you are, poor soul. You look at those that came to the Lord Jesus, and it's often been a lesson to me. You know, there are those in religious circles that say, "Oh, well, you can come to the Lord Jesus if you make yourself fit, if you do this or do that." The Word of God doesn't tell us that. Those that came to the Lord Jesus with their leprosy, with their burdens, with their afflictions, with their troubles, they came to him just as they were. They hadn't got to do this and do that to prepare themselves. They came just as they were. And you look how the Lord healed the lepers. Look how he healed those with sicknesses. Look how he appeared for those with troubles. And the Lord can do it today. Oh, he can. Come just as you are. Think of the precious words of the Saviour. Come unto me. He says, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Why, in coming to him, you see, you're coming to a king. And what does the poet say? Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his power and love are such that none can ever ask too much. And you see, as Job desires to find his dear Redeemer, he says that I might come even to his seat, where the Lord dwells, upon the mercy seat in heaven, for sinners that need mercy. Think of what the poet said, mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. But what interested me much with this was, he went further. He says, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Now, when you look at that in a natural way, fill my mouth with arguments, the natural man would immediately say, well, he was going to argue with God, but no. The Hebrew original meaning of this word argument was like this. It meant the meaning of it was chastisement, correction, reproof. And you think of that, you think how typical that was of Job. He was under God's chastening hand. He was under God's correction. And as he comes, he fills his mouth with these things that he's in, not to argue with God. You know, if you look at it naturally, people say, oh, this one and that one's having an argument, they're having a disagreement. Job had not got any disagreement with God because it was the Lord who was doing it. But you see, he couldn't see, when he was in the depths of it, that it was the Lord. He thought it was all Satan. But the Lord was in it all, and the Lord showed him this. I might fill my mouth with arguments. You see, how it came to me, thinking upon the Hebrew interpretation of the word argument, these arguments, he brings before the Lord all that he's in the correction, all that he's in the chastisement. Do you know what it is when the Lord chastens you? Well, Job did. What does the apostle say about this? Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And what a mercy that is, isn't it? Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And as he corrects his dear children, they come with all these things that he's using to correct them to him. And bring them to the Lord, because it's only he that can deliver them from them. Oh, it is. So think of that, you see, it's a wonderful word, really, and fill my mouth with arguments. You know, when the Lord teaches us to pray, he fills the sinner's mouth with the sincere desires of what they're in their heart. You know, it's a solemn thing if we just pray words. Our mouth is just filled with words of natural things. But what a mercy when he fills our mouth with the longings and desires that are within our hearts. You think on two counts. First of all, think of the publican. How the Lord filled his mouth that he could speak to the Lord. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That wasn't just words, you know. The trouble was in his heart. The burden lay there. It's like the hymn writer said, on my heart the burden lies, and past offences pain mine eyes. And then there's the other side to it. You think of those songs of praise that there are from the heart of David. You know, the many times David was unable to speak forth the praises of his God because the Lord had put in his heart the desire to love and praise the Lord. And Job was to come to the place where the Lord was to wonderfully appear for him, wasn't he, and set him at liberty from all the onslaughts of Satan. Both in his soul, in his family, in his circumstance. The Lord gave him double than he had before. But then he says this, I would know the words which he would answer me. You see, he comes with all this which is burdening him, troubling him, and he would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. I don't know what you may be in this afternoon, but may the Lord so apply this to us. You see, you come to him, as I've tried to indicate, like Job did with those arguments, that chastisement upon you, that correction, that reproof. And you come to him like that, with all that, and then Job looks for the answer. You know, if we're real in our prayers, we should be continually looking for the answer. Oh, we will. You think of dear Hannah, when she prayed in that house of God, she not only committed it all to the Lord, but she looked for the answer. Oh, she did. What does the word tell us? Before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be given unto you. You see, if our prayers are real, faith will look with it for the answer. Oh, it will. It looks for the answer. And what does Job say? I would know the words which he would answer me. You know, there's something very real about this because there was a gracious expectation God was going to give him the answer. Are you looking for the answer to your prayers? Whatever they may be. Because if those prayers are real, in God's time, he will give the answer like he did to Job. And then the Lord will give you gracious understanding, as he did Job, and understand what he would say unto me. What he would say unto me. You see, the Lord will speak to you, innit? And he spoke to Job, innit? Well, I'll leave it for your meditation. May the Holy Spirit sweetly speak this precious word into our souls, and may it be the longing of our heart like it was with Job. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. And when the Lord gives you the answer, poor soul, your poor soul will be able to praise his blessed name and crown him Lord of all. Amen.